Today we heard the said Al Sheets has died. Most recently, he had been on our television screens in the role of Robbie Quinn in Fair City. However, it was as another Quinn in the self-styled Mighty Quinn that he got rave notices in Enda Walsh's Penelope, and again as Joe in Sebastian Barry's The Pride of Parnell Street, directed by Jim Cullerton. Jim Cullerton joins me in studio, and Enda Walsh from Galway's International Arts Festival. Jim, what shocking news.
Oh, it really is, Kay. Yeah, I think like everyone in the theatre community and everyone who knew Carl and worked with him or were friends with him, I'm really, yeah, got a huge shock today to find out that he had died, you know. It's very, really, really terrible, sad news.
I'm sure, Enda, the whole theatre community down there at the Galway Arts Festival are reeling with this news.
They are. I mean, there's quite a few people down here and we woke up to this morning and... it's devastating. I mean, he was an incredibly well-loved man, and he's a contemporary of myself and Jim's. We've known him probably since our sort of like mid-20s, and yeah, it's really incredibly sad news.
As I said, most people will know him now from his work on Fair City, Jim. But mm-hmm. Where did you get to meet him first?
Yeah, well, I've known Carl for quite a while, really. You know, I saw him really in his early days when he was training as an actor in the Gaiety School of Acting, and then had the pleasure of working with him a couple of times as well on productions with Fishamble. As you said, he played Joe in the production of The Pride of Parnell Street by Sebastian Barry. And I remember at the time Sebastian just saying, "Oh God, he has something of greatness in him, and will we go for him?" And you know, and then again he played the central character in Spinning for us by Deirdre Kinahan, you know. So I was talking to Deirdre earlier as well today. You know, we're all very, very shocked by it. But I've known him for I suppose a long time, as most people have. Like, he was kind of a sort of such huge energy and was such a force of nature. I think, you know, everyone kind of involved in theatre or film in Ireland has known Carl, you know.
Yes, Enda, he had such a presence, hadn't he? And I guess that's why you would have cast him in Penelope, because it was such a fabulous role. Tell us just a little bit about the role and what you demanded of him in that.
Well, it's a role of I think there's four or five men. They're basically having an existential crisis in a drained out swimming pool in their speedos, and it's sort of based upon the Odyssey, where they're Penelope's suitors, and they're trying to woo this woman, and Carl, I wrote the part for him actually. Of course, you know, he got incredible timing. He's really, really funny. He has all these he had huge range, and he could be terrifying and all the rest. But he lived on the sunbed and then sort of came in and put these red speedos on and terrorized everyone around him, and then did this ridiculous quick change routine. And at the end of it, it was one of the funniest sort of straight performances I've ever seen.
And he had to do a quick change cabaret routine, didn't he?
A cabaret routine, yeah, where he played all the sort of, you know, great romantic sort of figures in history, and in his attempt to woo this woman. But this guy, I mean, Carl was like an amazing hustler. And sort of Jim said, like, you all have to have an energy about you in theatre to keep the thing sort of going. And the work that he did with sort of theatre upstairs and was just like, I mean, that is great sort of like legacy work sort of outside of his own performances. And also he was turning into just like a really terrific director.
Yes, he lived the life that life of a classic actor and director, you know, finding work wherever he could and bringing his own creativity to it. I remember meeting him at the Edinburgh Festival, where he had Ladies and Gents, that show that they did in public toilets.
Absolutely.
The quality of his own sort of, I mean, in the Fishamble show that I saw that Jim did, but I mean, it's like really an extraordinary performer. But we all sort of remember him for his for his energy, you know, like for his great, his huge love for theatre, for the theatre community, his sort of his generosity of sort of spirit and laughter, man. I mean, he's funny. He's so, such a funny person to be with.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. You know, like he took risks and he was daring, and anyone who saw him in Penelope in your play, and will never forget him in his red Speedos. But I think it was that mixture of things, wasn't it? You know, as an actor and as a director, that he was, you know, that he had such a range, as you say, and you know, and such a variety. Like he had such a generosity of spirit. I remember one of the first times he worked with us in Fish Amble, he directed three short plays we did as a part of a sort of a site-specific production around Temple Bar called Whereabouts. And the plays he really wanted to direct were, one was kind of a set in a criminal underworld, and one was was a play with Neil Watkins as a drag queen coming down the steps of the IFI, and the third one was Belinda McKeown's first play, a little play about a father and daughter in a shop. And the three plays couldn't have been more different. And I remember thinking, God, one is like so full of menace and violence, and one is so extravagant and full of fun, and the other play then is so gentle and moving and heartbreaking. And in a way, Carl, like it was no surprise perhaps that they're the three plays he wanted to do as a director, because he brought all that mixture of things to his work as an actor and as a person too. You know, he could be powerful and passionate and very gentle and also great fun, you know, with that wicked sense of humour, really, couldn't he?
And it's not easy to go about and set up a theatre. Like he took on theatre upstairs when the economy or the arts were not in good shape, and started putting on new theatre and finding great talent like Thomas Kane Byrne and other acts.
Absolutely, he's been responsible for developing and helping a whole new generation of young emerging playwrights and theatre artists. The work that himself and Laura Honan have done at Theatre Upstairs is immense, you know, and huge selfless generosity of spirit and commitment and energy. He's kind of like, you know, really like an actor manager in that very old traditional sense of the word, you know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of like acting and directing and managing the theatre, and when you'd go along, he'd be taking your ticket and, you know, and making sure everyone was having a really great time in the theatre as well, you know?
And should have such a career ahead of him.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I really think also, just as a director, the last couple of years, he was moving sort of more and more into that area, and it would be just, I mean, there's a huge loss there. But I know I would have loved him just because, you know, I mean, because he's just, in terms of a performance and an actor, he was just getting better and better and better and better. Everything he did, it's just like, it's a massive, massive loss. It's like, it's huge.
Yeah, no, it really is, absolutely.
Jim, maybe we'd listen to a clip of Carl. This is Carl in Peaky Blinders. He played Ryan, the IRA member, who meets with Tommy Shelby, played by Cillian Murphy, to ask him about a robbery of guns. The other voice in the clip is Maguire, played by Keith Dunphy.
You'll forgive me, Mr. Shelby, if I indulge a little. Please. It takes a lot for a man from Sparkbrook to step inside this pub.
Anyone with money and good intentions is welcome in the garrison.
Now, you said you had business.
It's delicate, Mr. Shelby. It's a question of who knows what about what. It concerns the factory down the road at the BSA. Now, as you might know, most of the paint shop there is Irish. Big old place like that, rumours get started.
Rumours that there was a robbery.
Robbery of what?
Guns, Mr. Shelby. A serious amount of guns.
And what business is that of mine?
Well, when it comes to speculation, you can't beat a factory night shift.
Some say there was word from the proof in Bay. It was the Peaky Blinders who took him.
Your night shift must be dreaming.
Maybe they are.
Or maybe they're not.
What we're trying to say is, Mr. Shelby, that if you were to hear about the whereabouts of said items, we'd pay good money.
Carl Shields there from Peaky Blinders. That was a wonderful episode. I remember that. And there is that sense that he could create great menace. He had the looks for menace as well as for comedy, hadn't he?
Absolutely. I think he kept the audiences on the edge of their seats. You know what I mean? You never knew whether he was going to, what dark place he was going to bring you, or what lighthearted place he was going to bring you. He could do both. Gave such exhilarating, charismatic performances, both, you know, on screen, as we heard there, and on stage as well. You know, and a play that he he's directed is currently running in Bewley's Cafe Theatre. He was kind of doing everything up to the last minute, you know what I mean? And I'm sure there'll be tributes from all the stages across the country tonight to him.
And I'm sure going into Fair City was just something that would give him, you know, as well as an interesting job, but also give him some financial security in order to pursue his own creative projects.
Absolutely. I think like any actor or director, yeah, you're kind of juggling things, and he was able to turn his hand to his television work and film work and, you know, acting and directing any aspect of it so well and with such energy and creativity, really.
Such a sad day for theatre, Jim Cullison. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And previously, thank you very much to Enda Walsh. Our sympathy to the family, friends and colleagues of Carl Shields, who died suddenly yesterday. Or yesterday, Garev Anam.